So we had the angel that looked upon Gideon threshing wheat. And now we have Gideon telling others to look at him. That's a tall order for us as young believers. You know, I've often thought that when Paul said that, that's quite a statement. For any believer to say, follow me. But he's not saying just follow me. Follow me as I follow Christ. And it is a, in the day in which we live, young people, I think it's imperative that you look at yourself as someone who will come apart like Gideon was. Not that you have anything in mind that you're going to do anything big for God, but that you are in a place threshing out wheat. And that when God then taps you on the shoulder, and that may be for a number of different things to do, that when you stand up in that day and begin to move, that you're an example that others can look upon and say, you know, if so-and-so is going to go there, that's a good place to be. And it'll be an encouragement to others. Sorry.
So it started out with Gideon alone himself. Mm. Then we see 10 men around him doing as he did. And now there's 300 who can follow.
And he never forget the little loaf of barley. He never forgets that he is something. And really, you go through Gideon's life. I really appreciate him because you could see he never lost sight of that. That he's a nobody. Like when we say he's just a still little something.
I want to give us a couple of verses that I think helps us when we would ask the question, well, wait a minute, Brother Chuck, what is the Lord expecting of me? What does he expect others to see in you and I? It's a wonderful thing. That if I were to answer that question, I might go a lot of different directions. It's a wonderful thing to have Scripture.
Yes.
I want you to turn to Titus 2. These are not my expectations. These are his expectations. This is what he expects to see in young people. That, and it's verse 4. I'm starting with verse 4. I don't want to leave out the older brethren, the older sisters. They're in verses 1, 2, and 3. But it says in verse 4 that they teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste. You say, well, all of this doesn't apply to me yet. Well, that's okay. It will in a time to come. Discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, that's a strong statement. That God is saying, when these things are not seen in the life of my children, it really gives an opportunity for the enemy to take a handle, doesn't it? Yep. That the word of God be not blasphemed. But we don't want to think that the young men are left out. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a good work once in a while. Do we know what a pattern is? Any of us ever work with wood and we want to build something and we trace a pattern onto it and we can make many more just like it? A pattern of good works in doctrine. You say, well, wait a minute, Brother Chuck, that's for Tony and Emil and David. No, it's not. It's for us. Young man, in doctrine, it says, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Look at this. This is what people hear. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. This is the Lord saying, this is my expectations of you, Luke. This is what I'm looking for out of you, Jason. And I put my name there, Kevin. We all put our names there. This is the Lord saying, this is my standard. Are you willing to follow that? I'll finish that verse. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed. And why? Because he has no handle. He has nothing. He can't point over and say, well, yeah, I saw Luke. I know what he was doing. I know he professes to know Christ. And I saw the things. The Lord says, don't give the enemy that handle, doesn't he? Not speaking of you specifically, Luke, just examples for all of us. Well, what a battle. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye also on every side, the trumpets of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came to the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets, and they brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets, and brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their hands, and the trumpets in their right hand to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood. They stood, every man in his place, round about the camp. And look at this battle. All the host ran and cried and fled. And it says, the Lord, the 300 men blew with the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshitta in Zararath and to the border of Amillah and of Tabitheth. What a battle. The Lord says, Gideon, I told you, this is my work. I'm confident for this. I'm in control.
Just one or two verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 27. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And I think that's really the Lord's intention from the beginning, in sending everyone aside so that they would not have anything to boast about in. And the same we could say with our salvation. We're saved by grace, lest we boast in anything that we've done at all. So that's the way the Lord operates. And we see this many, many examples in the scripture where he takes the weakest one, the weakest vessel. He goes through them all before he finds David. He goes through them all the sons of
Jesse.
Jesse, right, thanks. Before he finds David, he takes the weakest one so that none could say, this work is of me. We have to say, look at the work that God has done.
Phrase that every man stood in his place brings to mind the verses in Ephesians of the spiritual armor we should have with, and the phrase that says, "And having done all, to stand in that evil day." And so it just speaks to me that Gideon and had done all, and kind of like what Brother John was saying before about, you know, if he had done 90%, you know, nothing would have come of his efforts or of his, but the faith that he had in the Lord through all of chapter 6 really led to them being able to stand in the whole nation, the 300.
I was thinking, Brian, also on that phrase, every man stood in his place. If you remember, when we got the 300, it was said that they were retained. He retained 300 men, which indicated that God had found something of himself in the 300 that he could retain for himself. The question might well be asked, is there something to be found in each of us that God can retain? Now, not only does he retain them, but here we're told they all stood in their place. So retaining is good, but there is something else that has to follow. Now, do I want to be like Emil? That is,
no,
I want his place. I like what he does, or I like what John does, so you know what? And he's getting a lot of notoriety, so guess what? I'm going to desire to be like John and get John's place. Stand by him. Stand by Emil. Stand by Tony. Stand by Chuck. Well, God says, I've assigned a place for you.
That's it. Good.
I've assigned a place for you. Stay in that place. The victory is only going to be won when we each stand in our places.
David, could we just add that the Lord has not given me Emil's abilities.
That's right.
He's not given you the abilities of someone else. He has given you the abilities and he has really gifted you according to the natural abilities that he's given you to do a job that only you can do. I believe it's really right to say that. That we are, in fact, all individuals in that sense. That there's a work the Lord has for us to do, and he has equipped us to do so. Now, how important was it that these 300 men obeyed the directions of Gideon? What if they'd have said, well, you know, I like this guy Gideon, and this is good. I think I'll go over here. Mm-hmm. And I'm really not ready to blow my trumpet yet. But I am going to go ahead and let my light out, you see. You think of the mass confusion that can come when we don't obey, you see. There's nothing wrong with God's plan. The problem is us, isn't it? And Gideon later found this out, we have to say, sadly, don't we?